RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id.
Listener of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are, welcome to our English Bulletin program. In today's edition, we present you the news, commentary, today in history, focus, and news in brief. We'll continue our program with Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany. Then we will end our program with Music Corner. That's our program for today. Now stand by with the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news, read by Rahmana. First, the headlines. President Joko Widodo targets 20 million foreign tourists. Air Asia CEO outbid at 40 million. Indonesia to play the role of peacemaker at Asian African Conference. Indonesia and OIC to discuss global situation. Now the news in detail. Air Asia CEO Tony Fernandes affirmed that the number of foreign tourists to visit Indonesia could reach up to 40 million. Indonesia has many interesting places. Besides Bali, there are Yogyakarta, Lombok, and Manado. Tony said he has already met President Joko Widodo to discuss many aspects including tourism. He said many tourists, especially from China, Japan, and South Korea, were only familiar with Bali. There are still many great places in Indonesia. That's why low-cost carrier with wide international network can introduce Indonesia as an appealing and worth-visiting tourist destination. Moreover, Tony said that Indonesian government had exempted China and Japan from visa requirements. China is the country with the largest number of travelers to Southeast Asia, including Indonesia. Tony added Air Asia had expanded to 34 cities in China, which had a great deal of tourist potential for Indonesia. The same goes for South Korea and Japan. Indonesia will place itself in the role of mediator for the conflicts in the Middle East during the Asian African Conference to be held in Jakarta and Bandung from April 19th to 24th. Vice President Yusuf Kala on Wednesday said conflicts in the Middle East region will be on the agenda for the 60th anniversary commemoration of the landmark 1955 summit. He was speaking after a meeting with 30 ambassadors from OIC member state at the State Palace in Jakarta, hosted by President Joko Widodo. He added that the ambassador supported Indonesia's intention to mediate. Vice President Yusuf Kala also pointed out that President Joko Widodo had spoken with several heads of state by phone, including Malaysian Prime Minister Najib Razak and President Recep Tayyip Erdogan of Turkey, during which they agreed that peaceful resolutions to Peru's conflict should be sought during the conference. Presidential Chief of State Luhut Panjaitan said on Wednesday that preparations ahead of the anniversary commemoration were already complete. Indonesian Vice President Yusuf Kala is scheduled to accompany Ambassador of the Organization of Islamic Cooperation OIC member countries to discuss the situation of the Islamic world globally in Jakarta on Wednesday with President Joko Widodo. Vice President Yusuf Kala said in Jakarta recently, the discussion on Wednesday aimed at finding solutions to problems such as the spread of radicalism, the Islamic State of Iraq and Syria, ISIS, and the turmoil in Yemen. He told prominent Islamic scholars and organizations recently that Indonesian government will discuss the issues with some 57 ambassadors from the OIC member countries and to equalize perception in Indonesian power to find a way out for peacekeeping in the Islamic countries. He noted that President Joko Widodo would compare Indonesian attitude in facing the latest situation and joined efforts to create a better peace in Islamic countries. In the meantime, Indonesian Ulama Council MUI and Muhammadiyah Central Executive Board Chairman Dean Samsudin said that together with prominent Islamic scholars and Islamic organization leaders, they have compared their views on the current situation in Islamic countries, especially in the Middle East region. According to Dint, Indonesian Ulama Council and the leaders of numerous Islamic organizations have exchanged views on what they are currently facing, especially the turmoil in Islamic world. He also noted that the Islamic leaders have agreed to encourage the government of Indonesia through Vice President Yusuf Kalla to take the initiative to create world order and lasting peace through the meeting with the ambassador of the OIC member countries. Tim further said that Mui agrees that the turmoil in the Middle East, in the Islamic world, will not spread into Indonesia, safe and peaceful country. Mui also encouraged the Vice President to initiate mediation in order to reconcile the warring fellow Muslim in the Middle East. This news is coming to you from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Indonesian government is currently focusing on improving tax revenues from e-commerce sector in line with its effort to increase national tax revenue. Deputy Trade Minister Mardiasmo said that Indonesian Trade Minister has established cooperation with Telecommunication and Informatics Minister and Bank Indonesia to trace financial transactions made by foreign e-commerce website and Indonesian customers. However, Iwan Junaerda, the Director of Tax and Information Technology at the Directorate General of Tax, claimed that it is difficult to trace e-commerce transactions made by parties that are not included as corporate entity, which open market their products online shopping websites. Previously, Coordinating Minister for Economy Affairs Sophia Jalil said that the government will issue a new regulation on e-commerce within the next 3 to 6 months. Sophia said that Indonesia is still unable to implement e-commerce system effectively due to a lack of legal framework, secure payment system, and lack of e-commerce consumer protection. Indonesian Trade Minister's Anti-Dumping Committee, KADI, is planning to conduct a sunset review on the volume and timing of the anti-dumping duty for hot rolled coil HRC imported from South Korea and Malaysia. The plan was made after the government received a request from listed state steel producer Krakato Steel, representing domestic industry. KADI Chairwoman Erawati said in a press release the committee has submitted the particulars of this investigation to relevant parties including importers, exporters, manufacturers from South Korea and Malaysia as well as the embassies of each country. The imports surge is thought to have a negative impact on the domestic market, lowering Krakato Steel market share. The last item, Asian African Business Summit will be one of a series agenda of 60th year Asian African Congress commemoration in Jakarta on 21st to 22nd of April 2015. This was stated by Director of Technical Cooperation of the Indonesian Minister of Foreign Affairs, Siti Nugraha Maulidia, at the Diplomatic Foreign Thought Show held by Area World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta on Wednesday. She said that the Business Summit, all Chief Executive Officers, CEOs from Asia Africa will have business matching to get real cooperation in the economic field between the two regions.
On the sideline of the Asia African Conference meeting here in Jakarta, there's going to be Asia African Business Summit. Because when we talk about economic development, it's not the government only that needs to work on this issue, but also the business sector. So this one of the things that we are hoping could achieve something from the meeting.
Earlier on different occasion, Director of International Trade Cooperation at Minister of Trade, Bahrul Harris, said there are four important agenda which become the focus of Asian African Business Summit, namely infrastructure trade, agribusiness, and maritime as well as marine. This meeting is scheduled to be opened by President of the Republic of Indonesia, Joko Widodo. He said that Indonesian Trade Minister Rahmat Gobel will explain the strategy and plan of Indonesian long-haul export target of 300%. A number of heads of state and ministers are also scheduled to be speakers in this event. By presenting 200 CEOs from 47 Asian and African countries and 200 CEOs from Indonesia, Asian African Business Summit provides an opportunity for business leaders to develop networking and exploring cooperation and partnership. That's news from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Listener, our commentary today entitled The 60th Commemoration of Asian African Conference. On 19th until 24th of April, Indonesian nation will gain confidence to organize a major event, the 60th Asian African Conference, AAC. Until now, Indonesian Minister of Foreign Affairs has ensured the presence of 72 heads of state or government in the AAC commemoration. The commemoration of the 60th Asian African Conference will be held in two cities, namely Jakarta on 19th to 23rd April and Bandung, West Java on 24th April. The agenda of the 60th AAC include Asian African Business Summit and Asian African Carnival. The theme of the event to be attended by 109 countries and 25 international organizations are increasing cooperation, prosperity and peace in the countries of the South region. An interesting point of the next AAC commemoration is that Indonesia will initiate great support for the Declaration of Palestinian Independence. Up to now, the draft to support Palestine to be an independent state is being discussed by representatives of Indonesia in New York, USA. For Palestine, Indonesia has significant meaning because Indonesia is a country with majority Muslim population. Indonesian government will continue to encourage the realization of this declaration in order to become an independent state of Palestine and a member of the United Nations, UN. Jordan is one of the countries to be present, but the certainty of the King of Jordan to be present is not confirmed yet. Jordan has raised some important issues, namely the importance of the development of thoughts and understanding of moderate Islam among Muslims. Both the government of Indonesia and Jordan perceive that the vote could encourage the development of thoughts and the movement of Muslims that could bring about message for peace and benefit to mankind. In regard to Asian African Conference, AAC cooperation of sub-South countries is very important to continue to achieve common prosperity, because a lot of potential of the sub-South countries needs to be developed together. Tunisian ambassador to Indonesia, Murad Belhassen, emphasized the importance of redefining the cooperation of South countries because the challenges being faced today are different from 60 years ago. Nowadays, each country is facing major challenges such as security and stability. To achieve progress, stability needs to be maintained. Therefore, the main function of the Asian African Conference needs to be understood by reviewing the position of Asia and Africa and the role of the people in contributing to promote peace and international cooperation. It is expected that there will be a discussion on the issues of social relations, economics, and culture of the participating countries. Mutual understanding and cooperation need to be developed among the nations of Asia and Africa, and they need to keep on boosting mutual interest. Listener, that's commentary today. Thanks for listening.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Today in History. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Listener, meet again with me, Ani Hasana, in our regular Today in History over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. We start from an event on April 16, 1943, when Albert Hofmann was also the first person to isolate, synthesize, and name the principal psychedelic mushroom compounds psilocybin and psilocin. He authored more than 100 scientific articles and numerous books, including LSD, Mind Sorgenkind, or LSD, My Problem Child. In 2007, he shared first place alongside Tim Berners-Lee in a list of the 100 greatest living geniuses published by the Telegraph newspaper. The next event was in 1943 when Unity of Territorial Command Soldiers 3 was established on April 16, 1942. Colonel A.E. Kawilarang established Unity of Territorial Command Soldiers 3, or Siliwangi. The idea came from his experience to quell the movement of South Maluku Republic, or RMS, in Maluku. At that time, Kawilarang, together with Lieutenant Colonel Slamet Riyadi, had difficulty to face command force of South Maluku Republic. From this experience, he had an idea to establish command forces which could move fast. The first commander was Ijon Janbi. The establishment of Unity of Territorial Command Soldiers Sri Siliwangi is commemorated as Special Forces Day. And the last event was in 2007 when the Virginia Tech shooting occurred. The Virginia Tech shooting, also known as the Virginia Tech Massacre, was a school shooting that took place on April 16, 2007 on the campus of Virginia Polytechnic Institute and State University in Blacksburg, Virginia, United States. Song Yu Cho, a senior at Virginia Tech, shot and killed 32 people and wounded 17 others in two separate attacks, approximately 2 hours apart before committing suicide. Another 6 people were injured and escaping from classroom windows. The attack is the deadliest shooting incident by a single gunman in U.S. history and one of the deadliest by a single gunman worldwide. And listener, that was Today in History.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
At Arrival Service, Voice of Indonesia, with today's focus on Indonesia's readiness in facing ASEAN Economic Community, or AEC 2015. Listener, to improve the preparedness in facing the free market of ASEAN Economic Community, AEC 2015, Indonesian Ministry of Trade signed a Memorandum of Understanding, MOU, with the Indonesian Employers Association, APINDO, in Jakarta recently. According to the Indonesian Trade Minister, Rahmat Gobel, the MOU was getting closer and all Indonesian entrepreneurs must be ready to fight to be the winner when the AEC is implemented. According to him, if it is not followed up well, Indonesia will only become a market for other ASEAN countries. Whereas AEC is only the initial step before entering other free trade era. Rahmat admitted the role of entrepreneurs is one of the requirements for Indonesia to achieve the export target to other countries around the world. Ministry of Trade targets export value in 2019 to become $458 billion. Minister Rahmat also expected this MOU can quickly create a map on issue constraining export increase and build the competitiveness of industry and strengthen its own domestic market. Meanwhile, Director General of Export Development Nus Nuzulia Ishak said this year Indonesia's exports are still dominated by 10 major products such as palm oil and textiles and textile products, electronics, rubber and rubber products, wood products, chemicals, iron and steel products, machinery, processed food products and automotive. With regard to the ASEAN Economic Community, AEC, according to news, Indonesia is required to create new entrepreneurs, which number in 2014 was only 1.6% of the total population of Indonesia. The number is still low compared to that of other countries such as Singapore, which number of entrepreneurs is 7% of the total population, the United States 12%, China and Japan, which has 10% of the total population. On the other hand, Minister of Manpower M. Hanif Dakhiri asked the Board of Management of Worker Union and Labor Union to support programs to improve productivity so as improving the welfare of the workers and preventing layoffs. Productivity and conducive industrial relations between employers and workers or laborer is the key. Productivity and conducive industrial relations between employers and workers or laborers is the key factor in improving the welfare of workers. Hanif also said that some businessmen have complained about low productivity of Indonesian workers compared to other countries, whereas an increase in productivity is needed before the implementation of AEC 2015 era. Hanif claimed, in addition to the increase in productivity, in facing the competition in the AEC, workers are required to equip themselves with competence and work skills as well as international standard skills certification. Meanwhile, small and medium enterprises sector, or SMEs, in Indonesia should be ready to face the era of the ASEAN Economic Community, AEC, in the end of this year. To successfully face the AEC, in addition to the government's and various parties' engagement, small and medium enterprises are also advised to have a competitive advantage. Ahmad Zaki, founder and CEO of online shopping Bukalapak.com, said online business have opened the same opportunity for anyone to improve their welfare. Accuracy in targeting the market will be distinct competitive advantage for online sales success in e-commerce. Zaki said he respected and acknowledged the tenacity and foresight of various small and medium businessmen who joins and trade in his online website. And listener, that was Focus.
Listener, it's happy to get to you. I'm here, Mana Rahmana, inform you some headlines of national newspaper published in Jakarta on Tuesday 16th of April 2015. Let's start headline in Kompas newspaper. In its headline, Kompas writes, "Today, patrol in Haiti faces a pit and prop test." Deputy Chief of Indonesia National Police Commissioner General Badruddin Haiti on Tuesday, April 16, is following a pit and proper test as a candidate for the Chief of the Police at Commission 3 of Indonesian Parliament. If there is no significant problem, Badruddin will fill the position of the police chief, which had been vacant since General Sutarman was dismissed with honor as the police chief on January 16. Although President Joko Widodo proposed Badruddin as the police chief on February 18. The House of Representatives calculates the 20-day decline coinciding with the opening of the third session of the period 2014-2015 of March 23, 2015. The House also interprets the 20 days was a weekday, so that the decline will be due on 20th of April. Republika newspaper writes in its headline, Indonesia was careless to address the case of Indonesian migrant worker. The government of Indonesia is deemed to be careless in addressing the execution of migrant worker Siti Zainab binti Duhra. The execution of Zainab was conducted without prior notification to the government of Indonesia. Siti was beheaded on Tuesday for the murder of her employer, Nahro bint Abdullah. Vice Chairman of the People's Representative Assembly, Hidayat Nur Haiti, in Jakarta Wednesday said that although Saudi Arabia carries out the death penalty, or Kihas, in principle is legal, certainty has advanced enough. Indonesian government proposed a protest notification to Saudi Arabia over the execution. Minister Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi said that she had received information after the execution. The information was through the Consulate General of the Republic of Indonesia in Jeddah. Meanwhile, the consulate has just been informed 4 hours after the execution. Listener, we come to an end of the headline today from Business Newspaper. In its headline, Business Newspaper writes, "Export input gives poor signal." The trade performance was increasingly collapsed early this year. This indicates a bad signal for the economy throughout the year. The sharp decline of imports saw symptoms of weakening domestic demand as well export prospect bleak. Based on the Central Bureau of Statistics delivered on Wednesday, April 15, the export growth was consistent, which is a negative fact. Throughout January-March, shipping only reached around $39.1 billion, down 11.7% from the same period last year. Both primary commodities and the performance of the manufactured goods export were also worse than last year. Listener, that was some headlines of national newspapers published on Tuesday 16 of April 2015. Thanks for listening.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Here news in brief, read by Rahmana. AirAsia CEO Tony Fernandez affirmed that the number of foreign tourists to visit Indonesia could reach up to 40 million. Indonesia has many interesting places. Besides Bali, there are Yogyakarta, Lombok, and Manado. Tony said he has already met President Joko Widodo to discuss many aspects including tourism. Indonesia will place itself in the role of mediator for conflicts in the Middle East during the Asian African Conference to be held in Jakarta and Bandung from April 19th to 24th. Vice President Yusuf Kala Wednesday said conflicts in the Middle East region would be on the agenda for the 60th anniversary commemoration of the Lemat 1945 summit. Indonesian Vice President Yusuf Kala is scheduled to accompany the ambassador of the Organization of Islamic Cooperation, OIC, member countries to discuss the situation of the Islamic world globally in Jakarta on Wednesday with President Joko Widodo. In the meantime, Indonesian Ulama Council MUI and Muhammadiyah Central Executive Board Chairman Din Samsudin said that together with prominent Islamic scholars and Islam organization leaders, they have conveyed their views on the current situation in Islamic countries, especially in the Middle East region. Indonesian government is currently focusing on improving tax revenues from e-commerce sector in line with its effort to increase national tax revenue. Deputy Trade Minister Mardiasmo said that Indonesian Trade Minister has established cooperation with Telecommunication and Informatics Ministry and Bank Indonesia to trace financial transactions made by foreign e-commerce website and Indonesian customers. Indonesian Trade Minister's Anti-Dumping Committee (KADI) is planning to conduct a sanction review on the fallout and timing of the anti-dumping duty for hot-rolled coiled HRC imported from South Korea and Malaysia. Asian-African Business Summit will be one of the series agenda of the 60th year Asian-African Conference commemoration in Jakarta on 21st until 22nd of April 2015. This was stated by Director of Technical Cooperation of the Indonesian Minister of Foreign Affairs, Siti Nugraha Maulidia, at Diplomatic Foreign Talk Show held by Air World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta on Wednesday. That's news in brief from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Voice of Indonesia can be heard daily through audio streaming at www.voi.co.id. Thank you for still listening to RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Listeners, now here are our next programs, Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany. Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello, listener. It is a pleasure to meet you again in Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary, as well as arts and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, I will invite you to travel to Magelang City, Central Java. So stay tuned. Listener, on Sunday, April 12th, as many as 1,109 Getuk food, which was arranged into two mountains, became the seizure of thousands of residents in the town square of Magelang City. Grebek Getuk is the culmination of the 1,109th anniversary of Magelang, which is celebrated every April 12. Getuk is chosen because it is an icon of culinary of Magelang. The food is made from steamed cassava, then rolled and sweetened with sugar. In addition to Getuk mountains, there are 17 mountains which were made of various vegetables and handicrafts, which were also contested by the people. Grebek Getuk is a tradition to raise cultural and culinary specialties of Magelang. This tradition is held every year in the hope of increasing tourist arrivals to the Million Flower City. In addition, this tradition is also held in an effort to nguri-nguri or preserve existing traditions. In this tradition, there were two Getuk mountains paraded. The 17 other mountains containing grains, vegetables, and foods are a symbol of natural resources in 17 villages in Magelang. Listener, Grabek Getuk procession was begun with the carnival of Mayer along with his staffs. They boarded the Kencana train from the grain box to the honor stage on the south side of the square, which is about 300 meters. The procession was followed by a colossal dance performed by hundreds of dancers, which tells about the history of the establishment of Magelang City. After that, a Javanese ceremony was held in which all the participants wore Javanese traditional clothes. The procession was then continued with cultural carnival, followed by all levels of the society in Magelang. This procession passed through the main streets in Magelang. After the procession, two Getuk mountains and 17 other mountains that contained the results of their harvest were contested by the people. Grabek Getuk is one of 103 events which are held in the program Come to Magelang 2015. Besides Grabek Getuk, the Magelang government's 2015 program is a program proclaimed by the government to develop the tourism sector in Magelang while improving the people's social welfare. From many events have been prepared by the government of Magelang to support the program Come to Magelang 2015. One of the most spectacular events is Grabek Getuk. Well, listener, that was Indonesian Wonder for today with the topic Grabek Getuk tradition. We will meet again tomorrow with other interesting topics. Sampai jumpa and bye-bye.
Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
Hello listener, wherever you are, welcome back to Miscellany from RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. In today's edition, we present you the anniversary of Special Task Force, or known as COPASUS. Stay tuned. COPASUS is part of Fighter Main Commando, or KOTAMA, owned by the Indonesian Armed Forces. COPASUS has a special capability like moving fast in the field, shooting on target, surveillance, and anti-terror. In its historical journey, COPASUS managed to cement its position as a special force which can handle heavy tasks. COPASUS armies are easily recognized with their red beret, that they are often called as red beret armies. COPASUS has the motto brave, rightful, and successful. COPASUS armies are trained not only physically, but also mentally and spiritually. This is what made anyone, including Indonesian people, feel afraid of COPASUS troops. However, now COPASUS has changed the mindset of Indonesian people on them. Through various kinds of social activities, Kopassus armies help people in every emergency situation like natural disasters. Kopassus armies have been prepared to face critical conditions that threatens the sovereignty of Indonesia. Although they are always out of media's reach, Kopassus troops have proved their credibility to defend the Indonesian nation. Kopassus managed to handle various incidents in Indonesia, like terrorism. To celebrate its 63rd anniversary in 2015, Kopassus held shooting competition with Kopassus officers. Competitions which are not familiar to the daily activities of Kopassus will be also held, like fishing competition. To give the best service for the people, Kopassus held fishing competition for people in Kali Ciliwung at Kopassus Komando Headquarters Complex. It successfully creates the sense of belonging between Kopassus and people. This fishing competition also gives a new image on Kopassus. Kopassus armies are trained to be brave, to defend the truth, to achieve absolute success in performing their duty. This is the new image of Kopassus at present. Happy 63rd anniversary, Kopassus. Stay brave, rightful, and successful. For a listener, that ends today's miscellany on the anniversary of Special Task Force or Kopassus. I'm Hernita. Thank you for listening.
We'll meet again tomorrow with another miscellany on Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back with me, Daulat Pane, in Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian original music, either traditional or modern ones. And in today's edition, I will introduce you to Indonesian regional songs from Tapanuli or Batak in North Sumatra, composed by a legendary Batak composer, Nahum Situmorang. Well, listener, let's listen to a song entitled Nasonang Dohita Nadua, or in English, How Happy We Are. Have listening. Nahum Situmorang was born in Sipirok on February 14, 1908. He is the son of Guru Kilian Situmorang, the fifth child of eight siblings. His career as a singer was begun when he was still in elementary school. His last education was a quick teacher school in Lembang, Bandung, West Java, a graduate in 1928. Nahum joined the ranks of pioneers of independence as a member of the Youth Congress in 1928 and joined the competition to create the national anthem. The competition was won by W.R. Supratman, while Nahum got second place. Well, listener, now let's listen to the next song entitled I'll Lose You, or in English, Listen to Me. Here is the song. Nahum, in his life, had never worked as a government employee of Dutch colonizers. During his youth, he had repeatedly won the contest to compose songs. Among others, Sumatra Keroncong Concours in Medan in 1936. And at that time, Nahum Situmorang Group was led by Raja Buntal Sinambela, the son of the Sisingamang Raja Twelap. In 1942-1945, Nahum opened a restaurant and became a Japanese musician, Sendehan Hondohan. From 1945 to 1949, he ran a jewelry shop. In that time, he was also active to compose patriotic songs. Some of his work, among others, Alusiau, Dijo Ahu Mulaktu Rura Selindung, Ketabo Ketabo, Lisoy, Ultano Toba, and Pulau Samosir. Well, listener, now let's enjoy a song entitled Lisoy.
Don't
During his life, Nahum had composed more than 120 songs, and until the end of his life, Nahum was still single. At the end of 1966, Nahum fell ill and was admitted to hospital in Medan for almost 3 years, to finally die on October 20, 1969. Well, listener, to conclude our musical program for today, let's listen to the last two songs, rearranged, very beautiful composition by a young composer from North Sumatra, Vicky Shanipar, entitled Na Sonang Dohitana Dua, or How Happy We Are, and Ketabu, or Let's Go. Happy listening and sampai jumpa. Bye-bye.
Matua, saya tahu.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Taruh jeges jege sude jekar jekar dongan jogi jogi sude lago lago jeges jege sude jekar jekar dongan jogi jogi sude lago lago
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz. 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id, or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VOI Indonesia.